Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, there should be a black hardback one somewhere in your row. You can grab that one and turn to page 818, and we'll be looking at Jesus' passage here together that is really convicting, okay? I'm going to give you that one up front. A really convicting passage about three pet sins that I think many of us struggle with, all of us struggle with. Covetousness, greed, and worry, okay? So covetousness, greed, and worry, in case you needed to get up and leave now. These are three things that Eugene Peterson calls these respectable sins, okay? Things that all of us struggle with, but sometimes we act like it's not a big deal. Like we're like, I'm just a worrier, you know, or I covet things from time to time. I don't think anybody says that, but we do that, and we don't list them out. Like if I were going to list out the sins of my life, that I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty big one. Covetousness doesn't usually make the top five list, even though it probably should be like number one. So these are beautiful things that the Lord graciously shows us by His grace. This is not meant to be demeaning. It's meant to. It's the grace of God that reveals our sin so that the Holy Spirit can remove it, right? And so I hope that as you read through these things and you see these things, that you read the good news of the gospel in them as Jesus is encouraging these people here. So starting in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus is in the middle of a lot of really important teaching. And while he's teaching, someone in the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I love it's this total random thing here. He's like, tell him to give me some money, okay? And then Jesus addresses it with them. He said to the man, "Man, I'm not your judge or arbitrator of these. Jesus, I'm not getting involved in these earthly things." And then he says to him, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." That might need to be some of your life verse, okay? It's a good thing to remember that my worth is not in what I own, right? That the one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he tells them a parable saying, "A land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger barns, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you, and these things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Okay, we'll talk about these verses, and then we'll skip down and talk about worry after this. But the danger of coveting and greed. Now, if you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little piece of paper here. We'll walk through these things together. Covetousness is this. It's the insatiable desire for what other people have. Right? That's what coveting is. It's wanting what somebody else has. So we'll talk about this for a second. I've told you this before. It was probably about 10 years ago in my life that I realized, like, I am a huge coveter. I covet all the time. You think about sins you struggle with, you're not like, coveting, not really. But then you think about it. Coveting is wanting what somebody else has. This insatiable desire. I'm never satisfied, always wanting what somebody else has. Whether it's their house, or their car, or their vacation, or their kids, or their spouse, or whatever. You know, it's wanting what somebody else has and thinking that that thing is going to satisfy you. And when you think about it, you're like, man, I do this all the time. Always doing this. And it can be with things, and it can be with people, it can be with abilities, it can be all kinds of things. It's this insatiable desire to have what somebody else has and to think that that's going to satisfy you. Verse 15, again, I think it's a really important verse. He says, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness." Not just talking about coveting material things, but all covetousness. And here's why. Because one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. That is a really good verse to read into our Americana. That my life is not what I own. My worth is not in what I know. And if you need a verse to go against the prosperity gospel, there's one for you, okay? Along with all of them, but that one definitely stands out as My worth is not in what I own. This stuff is not going to satisfy my soul. Okay, I need to guard against coveting. Guard against coveting. Greed, the second one there. If coveting is the insatiable desire for what other people have, greed is just an insatiable desire for more. Just more and more and more. I want more of this. So one is, I want what you have. And the other is, I want more of what I have. And I think they go together to form a deadly duo in our hearts. That I want what you got, and then I want more of what I got. So this thought, that coveting really deals with the quality of life. Greed deals with the quantity. One wants different, the other wants more. And you put them together and they don't go real well. Ecclesiastes 5 says this: he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income, because it's vanity. It's empty. Money, empty. Riches, empty. It's not, it doesn't have the ability to satisfy your soul, okay? It does not have the ability to do it. That's what Jesus is getting to here. These points go together. Soul satisfaction cannot be found in material things, and it's foolish to think that it can, okay? So don't get your theology from country music, okay? It can buy me a boat. That's not, okay, good, it can buy you a boat, but it's not going to satisfy your soul, okay? Quit doing that. It's not going to do it. Soul satisfaction cannot be found in material things. And what Jesus says here, he calls this man a fool. He says, you fool. Your soul is going to be required of you. It is foolish to think that it can. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can do that. Soul satisfaction can only be found in Jesus Christ, period, right? Can't be found anywhere else. And it's foolish for us to think that it can be found with things. It's foolish to think that my soul can be satisfied with other people's things. If my, you know, I wish my kids were that good at that. I wish my wife looked at me like that. I wish I had that vacation, okay? It's coveting. And then greed. I just wish I had more. If I had more money, if I had more authority, more power, then I would be saying, no, wrong. Jesus says, that's foolish. Don't think like that. Don't. And when that creeps in, and this is why we want to preach the gospel every week to ourselves, right? When that creeps in, and it's going to creep in, greed creeps into our hearts, coveting creeps into our hearts. When it creeps in, we need to see the truth of the gospel and say, it is foolish to think that. Jesus says right here, it's foolish to think that your life is going to be happier or better or satisfied if you have more things. It is not the case, right? It does not work like that. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We don't need to think that way. We can't be a people that think that material things are going to satisfy our souls. Only Jesus can satisfy our souls. That is the good news of the gospel. And what we got to do here for us, okay? The last point there on this one. We need to be careful. Be careful of this self-absorbed, self-reliant way of thinking and living. Don't want to be like this guy that Jesus shows us here in this parable. I want you to read these verses about him again, though. Look what he says, right? Verse 16, he tells him a parable. And this guy, rich man, land produces plentifully. So this guy didn't come by his wealth illegally or immorally. He's a farmer, and God blesses them, okay? Blesses the work of his hand, and he has more than enough and more than he could use. And look at who takes the credit for it. He takes all the credit for this. He says, I want to talk about me, right? The man who produced plentifully, 17, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I will do this. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones and I'll store all my grain and my goods. And this is where it gets damning, okay? This next verse is where it's damning to him. And he says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for you for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And Jesus says, you fool. Tonight your soul's going to be required of you. This man, me. I. Look what I did. I did these things. I accomplished these things. And the problem is, he then says, because of all the goods that I have, my soul can rest. He is putting all of his hope in his earthly possessions. And Jesus says, you fool. Don't do that. Don't do that. Your soul's going to be required. It does not have the ability to satisfy your soul. And This guy's taking credit that belongs to God, right? I did this. And that is a dangerous thing to do, right? Dangerous thing to do, to take credit for that only belongs to God. It's what James says in James chapter 1. It says, don't be deceived, my beloved brothers, okay? Don't be deceived. Don't lie to yourself, is what James is saying here. Don't lie to yourself and think that you did something. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change, of his own will, of his own will, of God's will. He brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. And so here's this dangerous tension we have to live in as followers of Christ. First, you should be the hardest working person at your job. You should be, if you're a college student, you should be the most disciplined student, all right? Good luck for that, right? You're on an athletic team, you should be the first one there, the last one to leave, always working hard, always doing more. We should be those people. You should work hard, you should do your job well, no excuses for not doing that. But the reason we do that is different than the reason of the world. We want to do those things because we are working as if we're working for the Lord and not for men. So I want to be a person that works hard, that tries hard, is very disciplined. But as I do those things, I need to rest in the fact that I'm doing that for the glory of God. And anything good that comes about of my life is not my hard work, but it's a gift from God. Like, that's this tension that we have to find to live in. Where I'm a hard worker, working as for the Lord and not for men, and when good happens, I go, praise God for his blessing. That makes sense? You gotta find that. Because if you don't, you could be the person that James is talking about. You could deceive yourself into thinking you're a self-made man. And there's no such thing. That's what this guy does. He thinks, I got it, right? I'm a farmer, got a lot of goods. Barns aren't big enough. I'm going to build me bigger barns, and I'm going to say my soul's going to be satisfied because I'm going to have all my stuff. And Jesus says, you're a fool if you think that your stuff's going to satisfy your soul. It will not. It can not. Only Jesus can do that. And so we've got to be careful, church. We got to be careful that we don't allow coveting to slip into our hearts, greed to grow in our hearts to the point that we think that it's going to satisfy our souls or to think that we've accomplished this in our own in any way. It's just simply not true. Verse 22. Beat that horse enough. Going to get on you worriers. I just worry. That's what I do. he said to his disciples, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. And they don't build bigger barns. God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds of the air? You're a lot more valuable than they are. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If you then, who are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all of his glory, wasn't arrayed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Don't seek what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock. This is great news for us. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that don't grow old, with a treasure the heavens that does not fail, where there are no thieves that approach and no moths to destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right, worry. This quote from Leon Morse about worry, I hope you chew on this one this week as much as I've chewed on this past week. Greed can never get enough, and worry is afraid it may not have enough. Worry is the emotional reward for material preoccupation. Worry is what I get when I'm too focused on the wrong things. It's what I get when I'm too focused on the wrong things. Now, I know some of you are, like, worry is your deal. You're like, I am a professional worrier. Some of you worry so much that you worry about how much you worry. Like, that's your game that you play. You just are always worried, and now you're worried that you worry too much. Can we talk about worrying for a second? Worry is really, this is the point I want you to get. It's really a trust issue. If you worry, I really have a trust issue. We don't trust God's plans for us, and we don't trust God's promises to us. And when you worry, you, generally speaking, you worry about things that you have no ability to control either way, and almost never do they come to pass, right? The things we worry about, most of them, even if you couldn't stop it anyway, or it's so crazy that it would never happen. But we worry about it. We want to control it, right? Want to control it. Again, it's a trust issue. And I think it's a control issue for us when we worry, because I want to control this environment in such a way that nothing bad could happen. So you do this when you're in college with your friend group and with your career and with your major and with your classes. Well, what if this happens and I want to do this? All right. You do this with your kids. You have kids. You do this with them. When you're going to control their environment so much that nothing bad could happen to them. But guess what? You don't have that ability. Bad things are going to happen because we live in a fallen world. So that's not going to work. We do that with our marriages. We do that with our jobs. We do that with our money. Okay, I'm so worried we're out of money. I know I get paid every week, but I'm going to run out of money, so I'm going to do this. And it's a trust issue. We want to control everything, so we try to control every single avenue, and we worry. Even when you do that, even when you totally control everything, you'll still be worried about whether you, did I do it all right? You know? And this is the thing of a worrier. A worrier whose stomach will be in knots, worried that they haven't done everything right. And what Jesus says is, stop doing that. All right? Stop doing that. Like, the birds don't build barns, but God feeds them. The lilies don't make clothes, but they're prettier than you are, you know? So don't do that. Stop doing that. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all that. Your Heavenly Father knows you need all that. That's not a verse to say, just step back and play Smash Brothers all day. It doesn't matter. No, go get up and get a job. But when you do it, don't worry. Right? Don't worry. Trust your Heavenly Father who feeds his children. I love that verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not going to withhold anything from you. So trust him. Now, if you're a worrier, how do you stop worrying? How do you worry less? I don't think probably any of us are going to stop worrying completely. But how do I worry less? How do I learn to worry less? How you learn to worry less is to love more and trust more. The way to worry less is to stop thinking about worrying. And start thinking about trusting. That Jesus, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you with my kids. Because I'm really scared to death about them doing fill in the blank. Jesus, help me trust you with my career. Because I'm 22 and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm graduating college. And help me trust you with my singleness. Because I really want to get married. Or I really want to have kids. Or I really want to... You know what I mean? Fill in the blank for you. And I need to trust you. This is an area you're calling me to trust you. Trust is the answer. It's the antidote to that. God's remedy, okay, two things. God's remedy for greed and worry are this. We see it in this passage. Sacrificial giving and trusting. Right? Sacrificial giving and trusting. Go back and look at verse 32. This is my little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide no money bag. Provide money with yourselves with money bags that don't grow old. For the treasure in heaven that doesn't fail. No thief approaches. No moth destroys. For your treasures are your heart to be also. Okay? Two things here he's saying to them. If the antidote to your greediness and covetousness, Jesus says, is sacrificial giving. Now, I hate talking about giving. Right? Because I think people think that preachers only ever talk about money, because some preachers only ever talk about money. And so I sort of have overcorrected on that and like never talk about it. But so Jesus is talking about it here. So he's saying, hey, You that covet, you that are greedy, you know how I can help you with that?
Give.
Give, because when you give, you're going to be reminding yourself that everything is His anyway. And when you give, you're going to be saying to your soul that my worth is not in what I own. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God with everything, even with my money, okay? So sacrificial giving is a way to fight against greed and covetousness in your soul. And then how do you fight against worry in your soul? It's trust. It's just trust. Right? You got to trust Jesus. You got to trust that in your book is written all the days of your life and before one of them came to be. You got to trust that His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Right? You got to trust Him. So help me. Help me trust you. And I think a thing for us to do, a practice for you, a discipline for you and for me, is to speak that into those things. So, because like if you'll speak against the things in your life that you're worried about, if you'll just confess them to the Lord, and then ask Him for His help in them, you'll be surprised what the Spirit will do. God, I want to, I'm going to admit I'm worried about these things. And so I'm asking for your help in them. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust your plans for this. Because I don't have it planned out. God, you have it planned out. So help me learn to trust you. And where your heart is holding on to money too tightly, be a giver, man. Be somebody that sacrificially gives to the work of the kingdom of God. It's what we should do. It's how the Lord is going to let us let go of these things. Things we're holding on too tightly to, I think as we do this, the Lord will loosen our grip on them and help us to love Him and trust Him more in them. And I pray that He will do that in us as we continue to follow Him together. Would you join me as we pray together? So Father, help us to be honest this morning. Help us to confess our sins this morning. Help us to confess our control issues this morning. As we look to you and as we seek to rely on you. And thank you for your graciousness to reveal these things. That this coveting, this greed, it's self-reliant foolishness. Those things aren't going to satisfy our soul. And we're foolish to think that they will. So Lord, help us. Help us not be so just absorbed with coveting and with wanting more. God, as we anxiously think about life, God, help us see you clearly for who you are. You've got this. You've got this. Look at the birds, the lilies. We're more valuable than they are. We're your sons and daughters. We're your flock, your children, and you're a good father. So God, help us to trust you in these areas we worry. God, I pray your Spirit would move and work in us, conform us more in the image of your Son as we respond to your word together now. In Jesus' name, amen.